the new birth and growth of the church. If you've been here a Sunday or two or three, you know we've been in the book of Acts. And we started out where Jesus was taken up into heaven, the ascension. And we read a little bit about that. And he told them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father as promised. You've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we started there in chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We talked about that a little bit. Come on down to chapter 2, and we talked about the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and what a glorious day that was. They heard a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon each of them. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The known world, the people had gathered, and they said, man, what's going on here? It was a joyful time. It was the Holy Spirit being there, and they heard the message in their own native language. And they said, wow, this is wonderful. And what's going on here? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. So then Peter stands up and he says, let me help you out here. Let me explain to you what's taking place. And he said, guess what? This is what Joel said over in chapter 2. And he goes on to talk about the dreams and the visions and that kind of thing. Peter also said to him, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. And that kind of brings us today. The birth and growth of the church. So if you will be so kind to look on the screen at Acts 2, 41 through 47 for today, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So again, the birth, the growth of the church gives us a glimpse, gives us a look in to the early church here. It shows us traits. It shows us characteristics of the daily lives of believers. How they were living, what were they doing, and it should prick the conscience of the modern day church today. It ought to make us pay attention here. This is what the early church was doing. Here's the results that they got, and we ought to pay attention to it today. They were receiving the word gladly, one version says. NIV, those who accepted the message were baptized. So they were accepting the message. They were receiving the word gladly. They wanted to hear it. They wanted to see what was going on here. And that's what a body of believers, it's a church is. That's people who wants to receive the word of God gladly. Will accept what the word of God says. Because remember, these folks here or us, today, we're not just wanting to receive a set of ideas. There are plenty of ideas in the world today. We're not just receiving man's thoughts, and they certainly weren't. Or here's a set of rules, here's a set of principles, take that. Here's some human philosophy that I want to give you. No, this was the Word of God. This was right after the ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the church was birthed, and it's going to grow. And that's what's happening in this scripture. And they were receiving again now the Word of God, the message that was being given to them, the revelation of God Himself. So Peter's a spokesman. He's telling them and speaking here for the disciples, and he's proclaiming the Word. And the Bible says that they, what? They accepted the message. One version says they received it gladly. So the message was going forward. They were receiving the Word of God. And sometimes I think today we think, well, the Sunday school lesson is a nice little lesson, or the preacher did okay today or not so good today. But we forget we're looking into the Word of the living God. You need the Word of God. I need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. Our state needs it. Our nation and our world needs the Word of the living God. Not my opinion, yours, but the Word is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So here in this section of time, they were receiving that Word. They were accepting it. So this body of believers were there. They weren't just listening or hearing or just pushing it to the side. Some rejected it completely. But some, they weren't in the riding the fence mode, or they weren't just, I just want enough of this to maybe so I can go to heaven, or just slide by the skin of my teeth or whatever. No, they were receiving fully. They were hungry for the message, the Word of God. So they were receiving it gladly, or accepted it, the Bible says here. So they got the Word here, and it was a welcome. They welcomed the Word of God. They wanted to hear it. They believed it. They took it to heart and lived by it. They practiced it. They were hungry for it. So that's what we need today, to be hungry for the Word of God and let it penetrate the mind and the heart and change us and help us to be followers of Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, some were closed-minded to that message. Some rejected that message. We know that. They weren't interested in that. But there was a bunch of folks here, according to this scripture, that was baptized. 3,000 were added to that 120 number of disciples. That's a lot of folks, isn't it? They were devoted, or steadfastly, they were about 3,000 added to that number. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. They continued. They devoted themselves. They continued. They endured. They stuck with it. They were persistent in doing these things here. Not quitting, not backing off, not compromising, steadfastness and doing what they knew to do and what they were told to do. They received that message. Will you receive the message today? I hope you will. I hope I'll receive it. Will we receive it? Are we hungry for the Word? Are you hungry, really, for what God would say to you today in Sunday school or here in a small group? Do you want to hear it? Do you welcome into your life and heart the Word of the living God? I hope we do. Believe we will. And the question is, will we then be devoted? As these folks in the early church, will we continue? Will we press on? Will we persist? Will we not quit? Will we not back off from what we know that is true? Well, there's about 3,000 added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. To the teaching, to the instruction of the apostles. They devoted themselves to that. And God has given us this full Word of God here. He has given to us these books of the Bible. He has given us His Word, and we can be devoted to it. We can take that instruction. We can be rooted and grounded in what God says. We can today. the birth of the church and all this growth. And here we are, 2016. And for the people who say that's old-fashioned and it's not any good today, I beg to differ. Because it is still truth, it is still absolute truth, it is the right way, and the only way you're going to heaven is through Jesus Christ the Lord. And we need to proclaim it. We need to love people and tell people this story. So we can be rooted and grounded in it too, in the teachings here. The fellowship devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching and to fellowship. To the fellowship of believers here. See, the Spirit of God, when He saves us, when the Holy Spirit fills us, it's more than just a community relationship. Amen? You know, to be in community, we hear that word in the church world, or community participation. All that's very important, to participate in our community and want the best for it and all that. But what happens here, the Spirit of God, this is a spiritual participation. It goes beyond a community participation because God's Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And then there's a spiritual union here. So we should be about one sole principle purpose that we know we're together on. We're accepting this message of Christ. We're going to be baptized. We want people added to the number. We're going to devote ourselves to the teaching of the Word. We're going to devote ourselves to this fellowship because we should be united. We should be one in purpose, and we should be doing things together in fellowship, whether it's small groups, Sunday school classes, or what, as a body. And you say, well, it's not going to matter if I go to Sunday school or not. It's going to matter in your life, in your knowledge, and in your fellowship of believers. I don't need to go to a small group. Yes, you do. You need the fellowship. You need the teaching. You need the togetherness. You need the oneness, and you need the prayer time. We need each other. God put it together that way. And you have to ask Him if you don't like it. He put it together that we need one another, a body, the hand, the feet, the arm. You can't say, well, we don't need this part. You know that story too. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it to you. We're together. That's the way the Lord wanted it to be, the way He created us to be in this fellowship. So you say, well, Christianity is an individual matter. Has anyone ever said that to you? It is at the beginning. It is at the beginning. It is an individual matter. You know, I have to accept Christ myself. I have to respond to the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin. I have to do that individually. You can't do it for me. I have to do it. So yes, it is an individual matter at the beginning. But then it becomes a social. It comes a widening that we're accountable to each other in the body of Christ. So it comes much more than just one person. We need each other. There's no doubt about it. It's the facts. And God wants us to be in this fellowship, devoted to the teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. Breaking of bread, we say, well, some say, now that's the Lord's Supper, and that's all it meant. They didn't eat together. I believe it did. It makes reference to the Lord's Supper. I believe that. But I also believe it was some meal times together too. Eating together and fellowshipping together. When do you get to know your children and your family? Through texting? Through email? Through whatever? Well, we all do that kind of stuff, but I'll tell you, when you get to have some fellowship, when you sit down at the table, when you sit down at the table and you eat together and you talk together, you say, put the cell phones up. I don't care if you're 18, 28, or 30. If you're over here eating with me, get rid of your cell phone. Cut it off. Boy, that preacher's tough, isn't he? You know, we had a meeting last night. Around the table. My wife had a birthday. Did y'all know that the other day? She did, sure enough. Getting older every year, isn't you? Just like me, huh? She looks so much better than I do. Can y'all say amen? Hey, oh, y'all just amening on that, huh? Had a birthday. So all the kids get to come. We all get together around there, Mama and Papa, all the whole works. And you had a chair or two, and we're all around the table. And I don't think my kids yet to this day understand what that does for me. I just don't think they get it. They enjoy it, but it brings great joy to my heart to see them there, to see them interact with one another, to see the laughter and the joy. Now, we had fun. We had a great meal. We talked together about life, and we laughed a whole lot, and we picked at one another, and we had just a great time. You get to know people that way. You get to fellowship with people. Now, I know this is more than just getting together and eating now. We realize that, but that is part of that family and that coming together. They were devoted to the teaching, and we need to be devoted to the teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread together, communion or a meal together, and to prayer. It's important that we do those things together, united in prayer. A whole body of believers united in prayer. That's so important, and we need to be about that business. Psalm 145, 18 on the screen says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." He'll be near. We need to be calling on Him. The next slide is Matthew 18:20. "For where two or three come together in My name, there am I with them." That He's going to be there when we call upon His name, devoted to prayer, devoted to this fellowship, and what we need to be about. Verse 43, "Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles." They knew what's happening around here. Something's going on, the holy sense of God's presence. They knew God was there. They knew God was working. It was there. You could see it, feel it. There's a reverence for God and a sense of awe and wonder. And don't we need to pray for that? We need to pray that for this church right here where we're at this morning. We need to pray that for our country and our nation. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone who had need. This unity, this coming together and supporting people and sharing in ministry, coming together and getting the job done, whatever it is. These folks sold their possessions, their goods, and they used the money to minister to poor people, to needy people that was there among them. And we need to meet the needs of people among us. You say, well, who's rich enough to do that? A rich person is a person that's got more than you need. We had a Sunday school class one time. Leslie was teaching it. And we walked in as a new series. And he said, "I just want you to know, every one of you are rich." Y'all have heard the laughter. Man, what are you talking about? Every one of us rich. We are. We're rich. We live in a rich country, and a rich person's anyone who has beyond more than they need. Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So now that's an old scripture. You're familiar with it. It's said a lot. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Are you worried about the church? Are you concerned about the church? Are you available for the church? Are you concerned about the gospel? Do you want your friends and neighbors to go to heaven? Do we want our friends around the world that need to hear the gospel, some for the first time? Are we concerned about the gospel spreading around this world? And you know that's one requirement to happen before Jesus comes back. So are we helping do that around the world? And are we doing that right here where we live? I hope we are. Pray we are. Just imagine if every Christian through the ages would have taken this scripture right here serious. committing our total lives to the Lord, and seeing to it that the gospel is spread around the world. I wonder what would have happened if we would have took it more seriously. Well, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were together. They were unified. They were in one accord, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. They were worshiping in homes. They were praising God in homes. They were going to regular prayer times and worshiping the Lord. And they were remembering. They had a joy. They were praising God. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. So the Lord had his hand upon them. And they were praising. Now the results of this right here, you say, what were they? They gained favor with people, and what? The Lord added souls to his kingdom. So that's good advice for us today. Can we make a pledge to the Lord, to each other, that, listen, I will receive the word gladly. I will accept the message. I will take hold of the word of God, and I'm going to accept the message. I'm going to receive the word gladly. Can we pledge to God and to one another, I'm going to be devoted. I'm going to be steadfast to the work of the Lord. I'm going to be rejoicing and glad and praising God. Let's be one and unified and pray that we will accomplish the good things God has in store for us. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Would you stand with me this morning? Our Father in heaven, as we bow in your presence, we thank you for the book of Acts. We thank you for the word of the living God. And we're thankful that we can just look back a little bit at the early church. And the message, the infilling of the Spirit, and how they were devoted to the teaching of the word, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And people were filled with awe, the scripture says, and there were signs, miraculous signs, and they were together, everything in common. And you showed up in power. And Father, today I don't know where everybody in this congregation is in their walk with you. But I just simply pray that this could be a day of refreshment. This could be a day that we realize, fresh and anew, that the Holy Spirit's power is for us. That we have the wonderful Word of the living God. No matter what the political scene is, no matter what's going on the job or at work, no matter what the family may be going through, we have a God. We have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us in every situation of life. God, would you help us to devote ourselves today to the Word? Would you help us to have a hungering for the Word of God, that we'd devote ourselves to it, to the fellowship of thinking we can be a Christian and not come to church? God, if I understand the Word correctly, that's not your plan, but that we be involved with brothers and sisters in the fellowship, that we need each other, and that's pleasing to you. That we eat together, we pray together, we come together as a unified body. So, Lord, I don't know what that means for everyone here, but today I pray for peace and joy. I pray, Father, for a true freedom to come to these altars and pray, or right in the pew, that we will receive from you what we need today. So just help us to search our hearts and help us to respond to the Holy Spirit as you speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.